So as I was planning today, as a microphone comes up for Esther, I don't do Q&As at the front before. This is new for me. I'm a teacher by trade. So I thought I'd Google and see what would be a really interesting icebreaker to find out about a guest speaker that you don't know at a Christian conference. So what came up actually was probably due to Jurassic World. It's all about, does the Bible fit in with dinosaurs and archaeology? So unless Esther's got an in-depth knowledge of dinosaurs, we'll probably move on to the questions we planned. So I don't know, maybe you have.
I do live with someone who has an in-depth knowledge of dinosaurs. He's 13 now, but he's known all about them since he was three. So if he was here, he could tell you, but no. Tune out when he talks about it. So
we'll leave the dinosaur questions till later, yeah. So can you give us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, first part of your life, what happened and what made you kind of grow up to be the person you did?
I grew up here, really. Apart from being at my house, this building was the other place where I spent most of my childhood and teenage years. So I've grown up in this church, which has been fantastic. I lived in Wood Plumpton. 5 minutes down the road, a little piece of heaven in Preston. So that was lovely. And my family was just really planted in this church. They came here every week. This was our social life, and it's a great place to grow up. It's just fantastic. I grew up with a large biological family around me, which was fantastic, but an even bigger family in terms of church as well, mixing with lots of different people from different backgrounds. And I think it had a huge impact on me because it really broadened my view of the world. Instead of just going to school, coming back, and mixing with people of your own age group. There's a lot of people that are probably here today that had a big influence on inspiring me and helping me and things like that. So,
great. So as a sort of teenager, so you talked about uni there, where do you think maybe life, career would take you in those early days?
I grew up, it was a bit strange really how from a very young age I had quite a fear of like a really ordinary, boring life. I don't know where that came from. I remember being very young and imagining my future living like in a little terraced house with a very ordinary life and feeling very afraid of that, which is ironic because I've only ever lived in a terraced house since becoming an adult. One of the things I knew I wanted to do was I wanted to write. As soon as I learned to read, I remember sitting one day with a book in front of me reading like a fairy story or something, and then I thought, somebody must have had to come up with this idea and write it down in order for me to have this book in my hand. So I knew that I wanted to do that, but when I was, I'd grown up in church as well with this real awareness of God, but when I was 13, I went away on a Christian camp, and I met with God in such a real way that I just thought, that's what I want to do. I was hearing people talking about being in different places and planting churches or being missionaries and traveling and things like that. And I just thought, that's what I want to do. I don't want to just do something ordinary. I want to do something like that. And that's really fueled a lot of my decisions and directions and things since.
Great. So now you're currently pastor of a home church in Morecambe, which is in not an affluent area of Lancashire, as would be fair to say. So how do you get to this place in your life? Because I'm sure, you know, everybody's sat there going, you don't look like a vicar. So how come you sort of got to being into that place in your life?
As I say, I knew that I wanted to do something along church lines in terms of giving my life over to God and seeing what he wanted to do with it. And so I was only ever wanting to marry somebody who wanted to do the same so we could go the same way. So I met Richard here at this church. And when we got married, we were looking at, are we going to go traveling? Are we going to go and do all these different things? And we really felt like God was saying, first of all, to stay here, carry on doing what we were doing. So we got involved in the youth work here, which is brilliant, helped to lead that for a while. And then we went to get some training. So we went to Bible college in Nantwich. At that time, we had 3 children because that's the easiest way to do Bible college. Is to go and study when you have 3 small boys. And then as we were there, again, we were looking at, are we going to go travel here? Are we going to go live in another country? We just really felt like God was saying, go to Morecambe. My husband had spent some time out there in some of his less desirable years, shall we say. And he knew that there was real issues there, particularly in the west end of Morecambe. And so we just had it in our hearts that we wanted to be they're available so that if people got to the stage of life and they thought, I really want things to change, I want my life to turn around, but if they didn't have a family or they didn't have people they could go to for help and support in that, that we wanted to be those people that were there and could do that. So that's why we moved to Morecambe and that's why we begun a church there.
That's great. So I know you're going to be sharing a little bit more about some of your other life experiences later, but a few more kind of mum, sort of woman to woman type questions. You're a mum of five children. Mm-hmm. First of all, full admiration. I've only got two. One's, in fact, they're both here somewhere, probably cringing in their seats. I won't make them stand up. How do you actually get five children ready for school in the morning? It's hard enough when I had two. We have very happy memories, don't we, girls, of school mornings. So how do you do it with five?
Oh, yeah, it was crazy. At one point, I had like three at school, one toddler, one baby as well to get out of the house. So my husband would leave for work at like sort of 8 o'clock or whatever. So I just had to do it on my own. First of all, don't dress the baby. Just put them in an all-in-one suit. Roll them out of the car. They're fine. They can't complain. You can sort them out when you get home. But yeah, you definitely, you lower your standards and you try and stick to this plan that you've got. But one thing that I used to do, because as we were going out of the house, it would just be so manic. It would be like, never mind about that. Stop getting into argument about that toy. Where are your shoes? Why have you not bought your shoes there? So when we'd eventually get out the door, I was finding, I was like, just like, maxed out in terms of patience and everything else. And so it's only a 5-minute drive from my house to school, but I would whap on some like really loud music. And we would just put this feel-good music on in the car. By the time we got there, everybody would forget that they were all stressed out, and I'd roll them out and I'd take the toddler and the baby home, and then I'd collapse and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I think lowering your standards and just seeing the funny in everything. So when you get to that point and you think, I could laugh about this or I could cry about that, choose to laugh instead.
I like that one about the loud music. I shall try that next week, yeah. I think. That's great. So, again, more of a lighthearted question, I suppose. Can you share a moment when perhaps you had something that's really funny as part of family life, that every time you look back to it, you go, do you know what, that's really funny, and it makes you laugh, and it makes the kids laugh, and it's just a great moment that you have in your life?
This, I can share with you a moment that has gone down in history in our family as one of those I could have cried but I laughed instead moments. And that's when we were living at Bible College. And so I had three boys in the space of 20 months. So I had one little boy and then found out when we were expecting our next one that it was twins. So they were very close in age, used to run around, do all this stuff together. And I was out one night. So they were probably 2 and 3 at the time. The twins were 2 and the older one was 3. And I'd gone out to music practice while we were at Bible College, so my husband was in charge. And I'd come back, and so in our little flat, you kind of walked in the front door, bathroom there, lounge there, 2 bedrooms there, one went into the other, and the study over there. So my husband's in the lounge, which is that corner of the little flat, and the children should have been fast asleep in their bedroom, but they'd opened the door, which is normally locked, and they'd gone into our bedroom, and I just heard this noise. I was like, what on earth has happened? I walked into our bedroom, and then we had a sink in the corner, you know, like the old-fashioned style thing. That sink was full of anything you could think of in our bedroom, like face cloths and soap containers and shoes and towels, and both of the taps were on full blast. And all the water was coming out and flowing down, and it had got to like halfway across the bedroom floor, and 2 of the boys were stood on the bed like this, watching all this unfold, as if to say, oh goodness, we didn't know this was going to happen. And the 3rd one, which was the noise that alerted me to what was happening in the first place, was stood directly under the sink with the full force of the waterfall coming on his head, going, why? Why? While the others were saying, get on the bed, get on the bed. So I walked in, I went, I switched those taps off. I looked around the room at this devastation. And the one of the twins, who I know will have engineered the whole thing, looked around the room like this and went, oh, no. As if he'd only just seen it happen. So that was one of the many typical kind of stories that used to happen in our lives quite a lot.
Yeah, I've heard a few of the stories about the Scholes household over the years, I think, yeah. So just final question then before we move back onto cakes. So if you could have dinner with 3 people, anybody in the world, who would it be?
I'm presuming that we can go outside kind of the time-space continuum. And
absolutely, anybody, pick anybody at all. Okay. Imagine you're Doctor Who, got TARDIS, anyway.
Okay, right. Number one would have to be, and I know she had a representative earlier, but it would have to be the Queen, because I think she's an incredible lady. I love history. I read history all the time, particularly about the British monarchs and things like that. And I think she's just such a great representation of somebody that is steady and stable and has done her job well for a lot of years. I think it's a shame. I know that we had to get democracy as a result of what the past sort of kings and queens did. But if I could vote for her on a ballot paper to actually run this country, I would put her on there because I think she's incredible. Yeah, and I'd love to meet her.
I'd agree with that. That's great. Great. Oh, thanks for that. Well, I hope you've enjoyed sort of just getting to know.
Two more.
See, I want to get to my cakes.
Sorry, you have to wait. You have to earn those cakes.
Sorry, carry on, Esther.
The other one would be, this is probably a bit more serious actually, but did anybody used to watch that program called Quantum Leap? Yes. Yeah, and there was a guy, and he kind of got sucked into this time-space continuum thing, but he had to keep going back in time to visit different people and try and change the path of their lives. And there's somebody, I'm not going to name names, but there's somebody that I know, and I've always looked at them all my life and thought, if you'd have seen life differently right from the beginning, if you'd have seen yourself as an I can person instead of an I can't person, then I wonder how different your life would be. And I'd love to go back in time, speak to that person when they were much younger and look in their eyes and sort of say this stuff to them. That's just, I'm just really curious. And I think it would have had a really big effect on people around them. And the third one would be to go 15 years in the future and to sit down with my kids, or just one kid, if we're being strict about the rules here. You know, if we get this one.
I think we can let you off with that one. That's fine.
They would give me an update on the others. Because I think as parenting, it's very, very hard to know what to really focus in on and go, this is a battle worth fighting, and I'm going to make sure that I continue with this. And some things you just think, oh, I'm just going to let it go and it's fine because in a few years this just won't matter. And so it would be great to go 15 years in the future and see my kids as adults and go, okay, now I know which battles to fight and keep on with and which ones are going to turn out just fine and I can let those go. I think that would make life a lot easier.
All right, that's amazing advice. Already I'm thinking, I've learned something already. So I hope that's kind of given you a flavour of Esther.
Make that time machine, yes.
Yeah, and kind of the sort of stuff she's going to be sharing later. You know, she's had an extraordinary life, and I hope as you have your cake, you look forward to listening to Esther later. It'll be about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. So enjoy your cake, back to your cues, and enjoy. Thank you. Thanks, Esther.